I'm going to be reading from John chapter 20. Come on, man. I don't sound like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer anymore, do I? How you doing? So blessed to see you. Dennis, right?
Yes.
All right. Have I met you?
Yeah, once before.
Forgive me for forgetting. But I don't sound like Rudolph anymore. Thank you, Jesus. John chapter 20. Father, we thank you for your word.
Yes, Lord.
Jesus, you said the flesh profits nothing. The spirit is the one that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. And you said your words were spirit and life. So as we look at your word, we're thankful that it's going to energize our spirits and bring forth the fruit of the life that you have planned for us. In Jesus' name, amen. John chapter 20. The message title is, I gave it a message. The message is, show Thomas out of your door. Send Thomas out the door. Send Thomas out of your house. Now, Thomas gets a bad rap, don't he? How do we know Thomas? What do we call him?
Doubting Thomas.
Doubting Thomas. All right. I told him, I said, Thomas, if you could see me from where you're at, you got a bad rap. So let's look at John chapter 20. It starts like this. The first day of the week comes Mary Magdalene early, when it was still dark, unto the tomb, and seeth the stone taken away from the tomb. Verse 2. Then she ran and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved. Do you know who that is?
John.
That's John. John refers to himself as the one that Jesus loves. And said to them, they have taken away the Lord out from the tomb, and we do not know where they have brought him. Peter, therefore, went, and the other disciples went with him, and came to the tomb. So they both ran together. And me, John, I did outrun Peter. And arrived first at the tomb. John is very humble, huh? The one that Jesus loved. And the one that outran Peter. Hallelujah. And stooping down and looking in, they saw the linen cloths lying. Yet they didn't enter. Then came Peter. He was a little slower. He was out of shape, you know, whatever. I don't know. He was following him, but he went in and saw the linen clothes lying there and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in the other disciple, John, which came first. He has to say that. I don't know why I say that. Which arrived first to the tomb and saw. And then it says, I think he's puffing himself up. He's puffing himself up here, because then it says, and he believed. We're going to find out that he really didn't believe at that point. All right? He's puffing himself up. The one that Jesus loved, I got there first, I outran him, oh, I believed. Okay. All right? For as yet, because look at what he says after that. For as yet, they did not know the scriptures. They did not know that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. So do you think that if John really believed, right, that don't you think they would have been throwing a party? Mm-hmm. Don't you think they would have been having a hallelujah shouting match? Yeah. No, they went back to their own homes. You know, you go back to your own homes when you're still feeling solace, right?
Yeah.
When you're still feeling, you know, what's that word?
In doubt,
you know? Not knowing, unassured. All right. But Mary stood without at the tomb, weeping and crying. And as she wept, she looked down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white, sitting one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus was laying. Now, one thing I like about The Chosen is how it depicts Mary, right?
Which
Mary? Mary Magdalene. This Mary.
The other Mary.
Now this Mary right here, she loved Rabboni. She loved Jesus. She loved Master. He went and he rescued her. I mean, the Chosen shows she was in deep, dark despair. It shows that she was in this corridor, this area where you just don't go to. You don't go to unless you're strapped with an Uzi or with a 45 or with a 40 or whatever, you know. Is murderers there, or, you know, all kinds of evil people there. And, you know, and depicted her as one that was given to maybe drugs or possessed and in great, great mental distress and turmoil. Am I right or wrong? Am I getting right? Okay. So now Jesus comes there and rescues her and saves her, you know? And she just starts following him. She was there. She was there at the cross. You can't help but understand or get the feeling that she knew who Jesus was, right? She had to know the comfort of his voice. I mean, if I get a phone call and I answer the phone and it's Lori, I know it's her voice. I know it's her. Has he ever called you up and talked to you on the phone and you doubted it was him? No, you know that voice. Especially how many years? I don't know if she was there the full 3 years, but she was there long enough to know that voice and to know that fit. Am I right or wrong? Right? Okay. And the angel said unto her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" Now, I want you to know I do drip, but that's because I shot saline solution up my nose. Okay? And it'll eventually work its way out. So they said unto her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said unto them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, my Rabboni, my Master, my Savior, my Healer. And I know not where they laid him." And when she had said this, she turned backwards and saw Jesus standing there. No, John identifies that it was Jesus. She turned and saw someone standing there, right? Because it says, "And she knew not that it was Jesus." Can you imagine that? Jesus said unto her, "Woman, why are you crying? Whom seekest thou?" She supposing him to be the gardener. She said unto him, "Sir, if you have, you know, borne witness to where they have taken him, please let me know so we can go and bring him back or bring him to a rightful place." And then Jesus said unto her, "Mary." She turned herself and said unto him, "Rabboni," which is to say Master. It took her a while. And you know, when you think about it, well, maybe it was because of his glorified body, right? I don't buy that. Because Jesus took James, John, and Peter with him when he was at the Mount of Transfiguration. And they saw him in his glorified body. They knew what it looked like. They knew it was Jesus. So they could recognize a risen, glorified Jesus because they already saw him. They already bore witness. You follow what I'm saying, okay, right? So Mary Magdalene came and told the other disciples that she had seen the Lord and had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the door... Okay, here we go, Jesus. Jesus said, "Touch me." Oh, Mary. Oh, yeah, it is there. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. Now, you see, they didn't believe that Jesus was risen. They couldn't have. Because remember the book of Acts when the Holy Spirit was released to them and they received the Holy Spirit, right? The same Jews... The same religious leaders were after them. They were in the same fear, okay? What happened after the Holy Spirit fell upon them? And they were able to believe the way they're supposed to believe. They went out to the streets and they preached. Peter, 3,000 getting saved one day, and that's just the men. Peter preaching, 5,000 getting saved one day, and that's just the men, right? Being threatened, they were being threatened. Listen, you know what? We're going to beat you. We're going to whip you. We're going to imprison you. And guess what? Back then, if you committed blasphemy, you could be stoned. That's why they stoned Stephen. They weren't afraid anymore. So see, they didn't really believe. Because if you believe Jesus was alive, Jesus was risen, Jesus was back, right? All right. So then the same evening, the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. Came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. How many men have you seen walk through the wall? But that's not what convinced them. Do you understand that? And this is why Thomas gets a bad rap. Look at Mary. Look at how she didn't believe. Right? Why are we doubting Mary's? Why aren't we doubting Peter and John's and James? Because look at what it says next. And when he had so said, then he showed them his hands and his side. They needed to see his hands with the scar that was scarred from the nail prints and his side. They needed to see that. Now look what it says. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. That's what it took for them. It took the same exact thing for them that it took for Thomas. But we say, doubting Thomas. Thomas, you got a bad rap, buddy. I'm not calling anybody a doubting Thomas anymore. I'm calling them, if they're a woman, I'm calling them a doubting Mary. Or I'm going to call them a doubting Peter. How's that, all right? He's laughing, I know it. But now here comes Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus. He was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see the hands, in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Now after 8 days, again, his disciples were with him, and Thomas with them, and then came Jesus, the doors being shut. So now what does that mean? This man walked through the wall. Just like he did with the rest of the disciples. Are you following this? This is a great story. The doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then he said unto Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. But Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Thomas didn't need that. We call Thomas doubting Thomas. But all Thomas needed to see was Jesus walking through the wall. And we call him Doubting Thomas. And then we know what Jesus goes on to say. Thomas, you believe because you've seen. Don't you think that's kind of John taking off the pressure from him? Because he should have said, John, you believed because you saw. He could have said that about everyone. Am I right or wrong? Right?
That's true.
But he said, Thomas, but I think he's just saying that period because you guys believe because you saw, right? You believe because you saw. But blessed are those who believe without seeing. So I started thinking about these disciples. Every single one of them were exactly like Thomas. Every single last one of them. Now I want to ask you this question. I've thought this before. I've thought, oh man, it would be so nice to be with him and actually see these miracles. Can you imagine seeing a leper? I mean, that was filled with leprosy, knowing that the only outcome was, we don't know how long it was going to be, a day, a week, a month, he's dying. You know, parts of his body are falling off, falling over. And they witnessed Jesus going to, or that man coming before Jesus, and that man standing up and Jesus hugging him and touching him, and all of a sudden before their face, being made whole. Man, wouldn't you love to see that? Wouldn't you love to see any one of the miracles? Wouldn't you love to be at that wedding where they ran out of wine? How dare they run out of wine? We still got more days to go. You don't run out of wine. And you know, hearing about it and seeing it because you're there, you know, you're a hidden disciple. And you hear the order given to the servants, fill up, I don't know how many water pots was it, 10? 10 water pots, and they each hold like 60 to 90, yeah, I'm not sure, right? Fill them up with water. So they did. Well, what are we going to do now? What, we're going to take baths? We're going to. That's what they were for. They were for ceremonial washing. So he said, now draw out a cup and bring it to the master of ceremonies. They did. Brought it to them. He tasted. He said, I've never tasted such fine wine. I've never tasted. See, this is what started the fame of Jesus, that miracle. So they were witness to the fact that he turned water, which is for them, impossible. How do you turn water instantly into wine? Imagine seeing that. Now, the Gospel of John is the only one that covers that. And it says that Jesus was invited, right? And his disciples. So we know his disciples were there. His disciples were there from, what does that mean, Jesse? His disciples were there from the very first miracle.
They saw.
So you think of all the miracles. And you think of all the healings. They were there. Right? Oh my gosh. But how many times we read in the scriptures Jesus saying, well, why couldn't we do this? Like, when they tried to heal the young man that was an epileptic, the father brought the young man to Jesus to be healed. And they couldn't do it. They see, he threw himself on the ground. The demon threw himself on the ground. And he started having convulsions and seizures and foaming at the mouth and trying to wreak harm to the boy's body. And the crowd was coming. They didn't know what to do. You know why? They weren't walking by faith. Five senses. All right? So how many, right after that, Jesus, why couldn't we do it? Jesus was awesome. He said to them, because you have no faith. These are the same guys. You see, you don't know this unless you get a chronological Bible. These were the same guys, the 12 that were sent out two by two, that went out to cast out demons and to heal people. Think about it. That day they were in the boat. Jesus was asleep. He told them, we're going to the other side. That's enough. We talk about how when God speaks a word, it comes to pass. Amen. He said, we're going to the other side. That should have been enough for them. But no. Why? Because they weren't faith beings. They were sense knowledge beings, right? And so Jesus gets up and he doesn't say, storm, be still. No, he says, peace, be still. See, so many people think maybe the inflection of your voices helps out with prayer, but it doesn't. Right? So then they're like, he turns to him and says, where was your faith? Where's your faith? No faith. And now they're questioning him. They're not questioning him. They're questioning him amongst themselves. They're like, who is this guy? Now think about it. Before that, they saw the wedding at Cana, the miracle at the wedding of Cana. Before that, they knew about the nobleman's son who was at the point of death before that. Before that, they knew from Matthew 4:23 that Jesus went preaching and teaching in all the synagogues and he was healing all kinds of diseases, every one of them, all that came to him. They were witness to this. They seen this. Luke chapter 5, verse 15. His fame was broadcast. Many came to him to be healed and were. They were witness to this. This all takes place before that night on the ship. They were there in Mark 2, 5 when the house was filled and a group of friends brought their friend on a pallet because he was paralyzed to be healed. They were there when the roof was uncovered, and this man was lowered down. They were there when Jesus said, your sins are forgiven, rise and walk. They were there when they seen that. Can you imagine? See, you would think, well, if I was there, I would believe. Really? Really? You would if you were in the spirit, but you wouldn't if you were in the flesh. Five senses, okay? They were there. They were sent out. Mark chapter 3:14. He sent out the 12. With his authority to heal. They were amongst the 12 that went out and healed. Peter, James, and John were with him when he approached Jairus' house, and the people said, "You're too late. She's already died. Your daughter's gone." And Jesus took, who'd he take? James, John, and Peter with him. They were with him. Those three were with him. They should have known. He took them with him, and they saw Jesus raise her from the dead, right? They were there when the woman with the hemorrhage was healed. I mean, think about all they saw. Think about all they seen. Think about all they were a part of. Yet Jesus, on and on and on and on, told them they had no faith. You have no faith. It's about faith. Where's your faith? Think about that day on the boat. Perhaps they fell asleep like some, not some of you, some people do. You know, they go to church and they fall asleep. So perhaps the disciples fell asleep when they went to the synagogue, when Isaiah 43:2 was being read. Isaiah 43:2, which says, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee." They were sleeping during that lesson. Right? "When you walk through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." You won't smell like smoke. Do you know in Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and the bungalow? Right? They were ready to face the fire. Unlike the disciples, they weren't sleeping when Isaiah 43:2 was written. In fact, it was up to them to keep the scriptures, to write the scrolls. They knew that scripture. The disciples forgot it. The disciples forgot Psalm 23. They were sleeping during that reading in synagogue. "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, oh, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." They couldn't believe the way we should believe, because they were totally sense knowledge beings. They were not born again. They were not born from above. They were not born of God. They did not possess the same power that raised Jesus from the... Is this good so far? It's all right? They did not possess the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. They were just sense knowledge beings. Trained all their life to follow the lead of the senses. They were fishermen, right? They didn't want to get in that boat. Why? I mean, red skies at morning, sailors take warning. Red skies at night, sailors delight. Have we all heard that? You know? So our senses, our eyesight, whatever, it tells us. We're listening to that. Right? Our knowledge, our faith knowledge has come from what we have seen, what we have heard, what we have felt. They were sense beings. The only time they could have had faith is in the hearing, and that faith would come to them. Faith would activate something within them to believe that they would receive. But apart from that, they were led by the senses. They were led by the senses. And so now, it's up to us to realize and understand that we're not sense beings. We're not to be led by our senses. We're not to let the senses govern how we think, how we talk, how we speak, how we walk. We're spirit beings. "Now it's time to throw Thomas out of your house." Sorry, Thomas. Not succumb to those five senses anymore. Not 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says, "We walk by faith, not by sight." Romans chapter 8 is a powerful portion of scripture. In chapter 8, verses 6 through 8, it tells us that the carnally minded, the fleshly minded, The sense-ruled minded are against God, are enemies towards God. Cannot please God because you're believing that your situation is going to change or made to be better or whatever by what you can see, feel, hear. You, it's in you, right? But then Paul goes on to say, I'm seeing somebody wiping the sweat off their brow, so I know it's warm. Oh, man, I know it's been a while. You haven't seen Pastor Lenny wipe the sweat, but I'm going to. There we go. But in Romans chapter 8, verse 9, it says, but not you. See, this is what Paul's saying. Not you. You're not led by the senses. You're not led by the senses. I got one person checking me out to make sure I'm preaching right. Verse 9 says, but you are sons and daughters of God. And sons and daughters of God walk by faith, not by sight. Sons and daughters of God are led by the Spirit. Sons and daughters of God are controlled by the Spirit. Hallelujah. Not by the senses. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You see, sense-led Christians cannot believe by his stripes I was healed. What's your mother laughing at? You got to tell me later. Sense-led Christians can't believe Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthened me. Sense-led Christians can't believe Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. My God supplies every need. Has supplied every need according to his riches and glory. Sense-led Christians can't believe Romans chapter 8, verse 37. I am a more than a conqueror through him who loved me. Loves me. Hallelujah. Sense-led Christians can't believe. They can't accept. He who knew no sin was made to be sin. With my sin. That I would be made the righteousness of God in him. Sense-led Christians can't believe that. Sense-led Christians find themselves religiously working off a checklist. What do I need to do before I can go to God? What do I need to accomplish? You know, check out what's going on. They don't know. Sense-led Christians don't know. Therefore, being justified. Therefore, because you're justified, therefore, because the reality of the fact that you're justified, you're righteous, through faith in Jesus Christ, you have peace with God. So if you need a checklist, right, and you need to come up with reasons why or reasons why not, God is not the one that's putting that checklist before you. Sense-led people need that. See? Spirit-led, faith-led people know they can boldly come before the throne of grace, where they obtain mercy and find grace for their time of need. Hallelujah! They were sense-led people. So now you see, if you go back there and you were there, if you weren't watching and following and being led by the Spirit and by faith, your turnout would be the same as their turnout. You wouldn't believe. You'd leave that situation. You'd leave Jairus' house. You'd leave that house with the paralytic being brought through the roof. You would leave all the multitudes that were being, and you wouldn't believe. So you see, what happened with Pastor Lenny? What happened with Pastor Lenny? I got out of the Spirit-led life. I got out of the Spirit-led life. I let fear grip me. I let anxiety grip me. I started, you know, I don't watch news anymore. I'm sorry, I don't. The most I'll do is I have an app, Newsmax. I'll click on Newsmax, and I'll look at some of the headlines. That's it, 20 seconds. I'll go to Fox News. I'll look at the headlines, 20 seconds. That's done. But before, I was glued to it. I was glued to the debates about the vaccine. I was glued to the doom and gloom of the COVID virus. I was glued to all the negatives that were happening under this new presidential administration. Not that I believe that we're not better off. I believe we're better off. I believe our borders are more secure. I, You know, I believe that our economy is better. I believe that, you know, that when I go to pay gas and I'm paying $3.49 a gallon, it's much better than the $2.55 a gallon. I believe that this present administration is getting everything right, you know. I really do, you know. I believe they're getting right and causing turmoil wherever you go with unlawful mandates. Listen, if you want to get it, great. If you don't want to get it, great. But it's our choice. That's it. It's our choice. The Constitution says that. They're trying to sidestep and overstep the Constitution. But I don't think they're getting it wrong. It's a good administration. It's a great administration that wants to take and give to every immigrant that's come across our borders, right, and reunite them with their family. It's a good administration. Wants to give them $450,000.
Each.
That's nice. I think they're doing a good job. The previous administration did a horrible job. It was the lowest level of people crossing the borders of all time. That's horrible. Our trade agreements that were made with Canada, with Mexico, Canada, China, they were rewritten so that we made out better. That was horrible. Why did he do that? You know what? Whatever his name is, Kim, Song Yong Kim in North Korea? China? The former administration kept them in check. But I think the new administration is doing a great job because they're laughing at him. That's just a preacher being a preacher. About, you know what? Christians, stand up, make a stand. We walk by faith and not by sight. But I was letting all this in. It ain't Damon. I was letting all this in. Lord, who's going to pay the bills? The church? Who's going to do this? Who's going to do that? Oh, man, this is horrible. You know? And then everybody said in your messages, okay. Oh, mark of the beast. Mark of the beast. Oh, baby. Oh, my gosh. That's not good. I'm going to be forced to take the mark of the beast. All right, put up against the firing squad. I'm not taking the mark of the beast. Bang, 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 bang. You know? Lord, would I take the mark because I don't want to die? I'm afraid. You know what I'm saying? I let it get me, man. I was living in the senses. And I want to tell you what else. This is what the Holy Spirit brought to my mind when I was living in the senses. I have been around death so much. Maybe not more than most ministers or pastors. But I had a dear friend of mine in his church that we all know. I keep his picture on my bulletin board. I love him. He was like a brother. We had such deep, meaningful, revelatory conversations. And you know what? I don't have all the answers. I don't know why. He's not with us today. Brother Rick was with me that night. I flew in from California. And I full well expected I would raise him from the dead. And I went through the scriptures and I tried everything. Every story about somebody being raised from the dead, I tried to implement. I got to Elijah. I went back into the Old Testament. Rick will tell you, I got up on the body. You know, the warmth of my body, I got on the body, and his outfit was wet with my tears. You know, and then I saw my aunt. And I went just about every day to celebrate communion with her and play, I forget what kind of card game we played, Rummy. She always beat me. She was good at Rummy. But I watched her wither away and die from cancer. Then I watched my Uncle Johnny. And every day I would go and minister to him. Until one day he told me, Len, I got to be honest with you. I don't really believe this. I just like you coming to visit me. I got angry. I got mad. I got upset. I stood up. I walked out and I ran away. I ran out of there. You know, my Aunt Camille, I thought, but I knew as far as, and you know what I did? I took the time to go to their house and print big, large poster boards of healing scriptures that as she laid there, she could watch and look at. And you know, I left the house, and a member of her family ripped them all down and said, you got to stop that. It is what it is, you know. I'm like, okay. But still, I was faced with it. And then recently, my friend Steve, I was watching him. Celebrating communion with him. I was believing. At one point, I thought he was believing. But as he was laying there, you know what thought came to my mind? Lord, I had COVID. My five senses are telling me maybe I can get cancer. I was being governed by my five senses. That's why I believe it came. But thank God he's waking me up. Amen. Holy Spirit's waking me up to understand and realize that I don't walk by my five senses. Mm-hmm. I walk by faith. And today what I'm telling you guys is, show Thomas out the door. Show him out the door. Stop being led by your senses. Don't be deceived by your senses. Don't give in to fear. Don't give in to worry. Don't give in to anxiety. Cast that far away. This is why Jesus says, he says, be not like the Gentiles who worry about this and worry about that. Take no thought. That's the saying. You know, how are we going to eat? How are we going to live? How are we going to survive? That's why Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. Take my burden upon you. Why? Because my yoke is easy. Not diseasy, disease. My yoke is easy. And my burden is light. This is why Paul says, be anxious for nothing. This is why Peter says, cast all your worries, cast all your cares upon him. This is why John, here's another witness. John, 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. Perfect love casts out fear. Because fear has torment. Fear brings torment. So we have to determine that we are going to allow, through the power of Holy Spirit and grace, for our souls to become renewed to the truth of the spiritual world realm. To the truth of the fact, Romans chapter 8, verse 2. I, by the law of the Spirit of life, right, have been delivered from the law of sin and of death. I was once under the domain of darkness, the kingdom of the darkness, the law of sin and of death. But now I'm free from stupid. I'm free from the liar. I'm free from the enemy. I've been transferred into this kingdom. I operate in this kingdom, but the only way I can operate in this kingdom is by faith and not by sight. So today, I want to encourage you to stop feeding your senses, to stop looking to your senses, to stop depending upon your senses, and understand you're a spiritual being who's led by the Spirit and who walks in faith, who walks in the truth and the reality of the fact that by his stripes I was healed. I am healed. Because if you believe you're forgiven because he carried your sins away, then you have to believe that you're healed because he took the sicknesses away. And we live in thankful praise. And by faith, we walk in all and everything we've been created, recreated to be, to do, and to have. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for your